6, please read with me from verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that keepeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in thy gladness, in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. Now my interest this morning is in verses 4 through 8 generally. Notice verse 4 again. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Reason, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory in thine inheritance. And of course, I'm taking the passage out of its context. I do not believe the church is a nation or whatever. But I could say in there, verse 5, that I may see the good of thy church, which is the body of Christ, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy church, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. Or I could say that the people in America never understood the things that you've done in giving us like the King James Bible and the evangelist in this country for the past 200 years or whatever, and the wonders that have been done through the preaching of the gospel and so forth. They've not understood this. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him, and on and on. Now verse 8, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. In other words, anybody that was saved in the past or now have been saved for the Lord's name's sake, that he might make his power to be known. Now, I want to talk to you about what God has done and what God expects of us. What God did for us, and having done that for us, what he expects of us. See, like God saved Israel out of Egypt that he might make his power known. God destroyed Pharaoh that he might make his power known, and so forth. What God has done for us and what God expects us to do in view of that which he did for us. Number one, God saved us that we might be instrumental in getting others saved. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to take the passage out of its context in Matthew chapter 4 and just use the principle involved there. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, 18. And Jesus walked into the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, cast some net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, God calls us that we might be instrumental in calling others. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which, unto him which died for them and rose again, so forth and so on. In other words, God Almighty saved us that he might call us into some form of ministry in getting other people saved. Romans chapter 12, present your body as a living sacrifice, and he goes on down there, and he begins to give you different ministries there that you might be called into. And he says to carry on that ministry. If it's teaching, then teach. Any form of exhortation, do it, and so forth and so on. God's ministry in saving us. God gave Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and God called the Apostle Paul. The Bible said that he saved the Apostle Paul from his mother's womb. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was manifest in the Apostle Paul. My point in this is that the Lord saved the Apostle Paul that Paul might fill up the sufferings of Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus Christ could not suffer anymore. He was glorified. Therefore, he couldn't carry on the sufferings that would have to be endured to any man that preached the gospel at that time. So he called the Apostle Paul and manifested himself through the Apostle Paul. Paul went about from one synagogue to the other and suffered as he went for the ministry that he carried on. All right, then God called the Apostle Paul and saved the Apostle Paul so that he might magnify himself through the Apostle Paul. The Bible said we're bought with a price. We ought to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which is his. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, in effect, that God Almighty has raised us up that he might show forth this grace in us whereby he saved us. We're saved by grace through faith. All right? God would show his grace through us. Therefore, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have this ministry in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. In other words, God then chose us, poor, miserable, wretched, sinful individuals as we are, saved us by his grace, that he might show people what grace is when they hear our testimony and yet see what we are. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, God Almighty never called you to be perfect in this life. You can't be perfect. God Almighty called you to speak words with your mouth. And those words, as you speak the gospel, as you speak the truth of the Word of God, are going to be contradictory to what people see in your life. Therefore, they're going to see the grace of God in you. Don't misunderstand, though. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he said. So the point is not that you should try to live in sin just to make the grace of God abound. That's not the point at all. The point is that God saved us, that through our ministry, others out there might be saved. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 10, 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Have you won anybody to the Lord recently? How long has it been since you really tried to get anybody saved? How long has it been since you sat down with a King James Bible and showed somebody how to be saved? How long has it been since you won somebody to the Lord? Has there been anybody saved in your ministry in the last week, last month, last year? If not, why not? God Almighty saved you that through your ministry others might be saved. But that isn't all. Number two, God comforts us, that we might be a comfort to those who need it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God Almighty comforts us in our problems and our tribulations and our headaches and our heartaches and our pains, that we might be able to comfort others with that same comfort wherewith he comforts us. Have you been a comfort to anybody recently? How long has it been since somebody came to you and gave their problems to you because they really needed somebody to talk to? Well, you know, so many times there are people that come to us and talk to us, and they really are wanting somebody to say something for them, to help them a little bit, and sometimes we're a little bit sharp with them. and discourage them worse than they were before. So many times we take the position that we're better than other people. And if somebody comes to us and tells us about a problem that they have that is exceedingly sinful, you know the wording? We're in the church today. But we just can't listen to their problem. It is just too sinful. Oh, it is too horrible for us to imagine. And yet we're no better than they. God Almighty comforts us in our problems that we might comfort other people that need it. The Apostle Paul himself, I believe of all my heart that the Apostle Paul just, as it were, came clean in Romans chapter 7, that I might see the truth about the Apostle Paul, that I might not ever look on Paul as if he's some god. The Apostle Paul was made out of the same kind of material E.C. Moore was made out of, had the same temptations I have. All the things that happened to me happened to the Apostle Paul the same way. And Paul said, anytime I want to do good, he said, he was present with me. Why do we get the idea sometime that we're separated out and we're different from other people? The hypocritical attitude of people concerning this is enough to make a person sick sometimes. God comforts us. God saves us and get other people saved, and then we get them saved. We don't want to teach them. We don't want to help them. We want to kick them so many times. Well, don't kick them, help them. Say, but you don't know. No, but I know me, and I give them some help. You know, I think about this thing of walking in somebody's shoes. You ever walk in somebody else? You ever try it? How about if somebody had to walk in yours? Comfort somebody instead of just condemning them and running them down and criticizing them all the time. How about sit down with them sometime and tell them they're worth something? How about show them they're of some value? Worth some value to the Lord. If they weren't, God wouldn't have saved them in the first place. I know a person right now that has had the attitude of criticism. Just been run down and run down and run down until that person finally accepted that and said, well, truth is, there ain't nothing for me, no, huh? Criticized by an adult person that they were bad and then told that they couldn't do anything and on until they finally said, well, hey, it must be the truth, I can't. I can't be any good. I can't do anything right. I'm just no good, so why not just live the part? So then people criticize them for living the part that they tried to make them be. Well, how about just one time lifting somebody up and helping them? How about just one time instead of criticizing them and running down, how about tell them to love them for Christ's sake? How about tell them just one time that they're of value, that they're the most precious thing on the face of this earth, that they're of such value that God Almighty gave His only begotten Son, His sinless, virgin-born Son, was sacrificed for this individual. How can you say they're no good? Why, certainly there's some good. God comforts us in our troubles and tribulations, that we may be able to comfort somebody else. God Almighty sends somebody around somewhere, somehow, if it ain't nothing but just Bible study and the Spirit of God comforting us, to comfort us when we chicken out, when we're afraid, or when we have temptations that we know we ought not to be having, and on, somehow we get comfort. Why? That we might be able to have somebody else come to us and say, I just got to talk to somebody about this, and nobody seems to understand. I want you to listen. And why not try to understand them for a change? But say, well, I don't want to hear your story. I know enough about you already. I've seen your life, blah, 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 and on. Say, well, I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid I'd cause them to live in sin. There's some people that are absolutely afraid to tell somebody that they're any good because they're afraid if they tell them they're some good, that causes them to have a little pride about, well, that ain't anything but pride in its first place. You're no good yourself. Well, there isn't any, is there? You know anybody that is? Comfort somebody. The third thing, God blesses us that we might be a blessing to others. Look back in Genesis, and I'm really taking this out of its context. Look in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now all I'm trying to do is be practical in the passage, that's all. I'd choose Abraham out of the land over every idolater, make him a blessing. You mean God Almighty gonna make Abraham? God Almighty made Abraham a blessing. Why'd God bless you, make you a blessing to somebody else? Turn please to Romans chapter 12. Now you need to put on your thinking cap before you read this passage here. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. I would ask you, have you got a hold of that thing? Think about it now. Look in chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his neighbor's good. Purification, watch it, but tie it. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Are you willing for the reproaches of others to fall on you? You have to try that. Are you willing to just take it? Bear it? Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Why, he said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear you one another's burdens. Well, didn't Jesus Christ bless? Didn't God Almighty send Jesus Christ to the earth that he might be a blessing? Yeah. Well, did Jesus Christ fight back or did he bless? Well, he blessed. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now watch. You remember I said, now put on your thinking cap. Get out of your mind now the idea of, I ain't got to let this one over here do this to me or whatever. We're not dealing in that line right now. Turn with me to Ephesians. I look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from me with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Can you be a blessing to others? God Almighty blessed you that you might bless others. You know, there are several ways you can bless others. Look back in Romans 12, once again. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, notice verse 5. Romans 12, so we being many are one body in Christ, every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, and on and on. Now, there are a lot of ways you can bless other people. You might bless other people by telling them something scripturally that they do not know, and telling them in a manner, though, that it were not in pride, not in showing them that you know more than they do. Not in a matter of trying to humiliate them and exalt yourself by your knowledge and their stupidity, but being able to tell them what God has shown you in a manner that they might not exalt you above the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are very few of us that ever get anything on our very own. You ever notice that? I mean, there are a lot of seed thoughts that are put out. After being in the so-called ministry for 25 years, I've learned a few things there. And I've learned in 25 years about, you know, thoughts being presented, and a person takes that thought. Now, they might not learn the real truth, but they get the thought, and they start working on that thought, and then they come up with some truth. But the thought has to be presented out there. The Bible said God Almighty gave teachers, evangelists, and pastors for the perfecting the ministry. All right, then God Almighty gave you that you might be a blessing. You might be a blessing to somebody by just giving them a seed thought. You might just present something to them and get them to thinking, but they might come up with the truth. All right, God Almighty might have you be a blessing with somebody by financial things. Who knows? Well, that could very well be. The Apostle Paul takes up an offering for some poor people, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and God Almighty said, he said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have in all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. But that isn't all. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 with me. You ever notice the real, what he says in that passage there? In 2 Corinthians, make it chapter 8. Verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it, the gift, is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened, but by equality. But now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality, as it is written, he that gathered much hath nothing over, he that hath gathered little hath no lack, so forth and so on. Why, you might be a blessing to some other people by giving something to the people. Well, when I was a boy back there, I remember when a man's house got burned down, there were people that got out. Just, I mean, they made it a point to get out and go through the community and everywhere and get up furniture and clothing and whatever to help the people out. Why, I don't know when I've ever seen a thing like that happen. You don't know them kind of things anymore. Somebody get burned out, it just stay burned out. How long since you were a blessing to somebody? God Almighty saved us that we might get other people saved. God Almighty comforts us, we might be a comfort. God Almighty blessed us that we might be a blessing to others. And sometimes for you to be a blessing, you have to be a sacrifice. You ever notice that? You have to present yourself. You have to be a sacrifice. And sometimes the blessing that you'll be to other people will be terribly painful to you. It'll be the most painful thing you ever went through. And you know what? I got news for you. It may not ever stop. You may go the rest of your life with a tremendous pain that you cannot get rid of, wherein you were willing to endure that pain to be a blessing to somebody else. Jesus Christ did. You ever notice that? Why do you have left and have nothing left? Jesus Christ went to Calvary, and Jesus Christ became a blessing to other people and ended up with zero. You had nothing left. The fourth thing, God loves us that we might love him and that we might love those that love him. Look in 1 John chapter 4. Most people think of love as an emotion. We're not dealing with emotion here. We're dealing with love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So, but that's in 1 John. Care if it was in Genesis. That's a truth that will abide for all times. I mean, are you going to tell me that God Almighty so loved John Doe out there that he gave his only begotten son that he might be saved, and Jesus Christ loved that individual to get him saved, and you hate that individual that Jesus Christ loved while you say you love Jesus? There ain't no way, folks. You can't hate them that the Lord loves while you say you love the Lord. Why, if you love the Lord, you love them that the Lord loves. Say, yeah, but I don't agree with them. We're not talking about always being in agreement. We're talking about loving them for Christ's sake. Say, yeah, but he's a Baptist. Love him too. Well, how about that Methodist? Him too. Did the Lord love him? Yeah. Well, then you love them too. God Almighty manifests his love unto us. And the Bible is very clear in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if Christ died for all, we're dead. We're all dead. You ought to love others. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, it's terribly hard to tell people that you love them. You ever notice that? You know, there's a certain proud, arrogant attitude among people. Did you ever tell your child that you love them? Since when have you said to your son, I just want you to know, son, I love you? How long since you had your son put his arms around you and you around him? We're talking about love now. We're not necessarily talking about an emotion. Love. You know, I remember a few years ago, my sister, I think I mentioned this to you one time before, and I don't want to bore you with it. My sister's son got saved. And leastwise, he said he did. It was in a Baptist church, and we were there. And if any of you have ever been in a Baptist church, you know how they react. And so the person that claims the Lord as his Savior, or whether it be a candidate for baptism, whatever, they have them to stand in front, and the people come around and give them, you know, the hands of fellowship and this and that and that. And so people are coming around, and they're people who are just neighbors. They walked up to my nephew. He's a grown boy at that time. And put their arms around him. And, you know, just talk to him a moment or whatever. And my sister, bless her heart, she just never really knew how to love, as she walked up to her son and shook his hand. She couldn't do it in front of, there's that proud, haughty spirit there that just can't turn loose. Why? I've known that in my life. You know, as a child, if you're not loved, sometimes you want to take that out on other people. And you get so that you have a psychological thing about you there, that if you love them by expressing some emotion that way or whatever, it's showing some, in other words, you just want people to suffer. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. Tell somebody you love them. Talk to them about it. God Almighty loved us. that we might love him and love those that love him, love those that belong to him. And you know, of course, we're living in a society today that if you tell somebody you love them, somebody hears it. Sometimes they get the wrong idea of what's going on. Television, radio, and the news media and the magazines are designed by the devil to make that be. Why, you know, Paul said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Couldn't do that today. Stand at the door over there and kiss people when they come in and go out. Maybe people want to dynamite the place. The devil has brought this on. And yet, hey, listen to me. I know there are people that you love. I know you love them in the Lord. Well, what's wrong with telling them you love them? Is it going to bend something a little bit? Is something going to break? Is it going to hurt anything? Just love somebody for a change. God loved you. Love him. And love them. And then the next thing, God suffered for us that we might suffer for him. Turn please to Philippians chapter 1, and I'm just going to, there's several things I want to give you here, and I'm going to give them to you real fast. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians 1, 29. For unto you is given the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And there are numerous other passages there that we could go into. God Almighty suffered for us and gives us the opportunity of suffering for him. And as we suffer for him, we gain a crown there. Suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Christ laid down his life that we might lay down ours. Turn please to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This is self-denial we're talking about. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. Hereby proceed we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and showeth up with bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Sometimes we need to lay down our lives instead of gaining for ourselves all the time. And I'm talking about spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, you just name it. We ought to gain for others. In other words, try to build up, suffer that others might be built up. God teaches us how to worship so that we might worship him. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, worship of God, that is not a physical thing. Why, the Bible said God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The Bible said that God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. God is worshipped in a spiritual manner. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. The Bible said you're the circumcision which having been circumcised, or the circumcision made without hands, that worship God in the spirit. In other words, it's a spiritual realm. Therefore, we're to worship God in the spirit, not in the physical. And then the last thing I want to refer to, God is going to glorify us so that in eternity we may manifest his glory. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. God Almighty is going to change our vital bodies, so we may be like fashioned of the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and and he's going to make us manifest in glory and show that glory to others. God is going to glorify us that we might glorify others. Now, you know, in all that that I've said, there are going to be, you know, the thing that is so hard for E.C. Moore to get a hold of is the fact that the people that God loved and gave his son for are so unlovely. If the love was an emotion, he wouldn't have done it. Look at people. Did God so love the world he gave his only begotten son? Yes. Are they lovely? No. Are they haters of God? Yes. Do they shake their fist in the face of God? Yes. Well then, should we love people? Should we strive? Should we make an effort to get people saved if they hate God? Yes. It's hard. It isn't easy to do. It isn't easy to go to people and try to bring the truth to them when they despise you and despise the Lord and want to throw you out of their house and curse you and talk about you and so forth. And yet, that's the way it is. But there's a door. How about the saved? Does God forgive people that seems to us as unforgivable? Yes. Well, then hadn't we ought to do the same? You see, it isn't an easy thing, I'm told. It ain't like falling off a log or something. It's something you got to set your mind to. You got to devote yourself to this thing. You can't comfort other people unless you devote yourself to it. It can't be a blessing to other people unless you devote yourself to be a blessing. You have to try. You have to make some effort. Now, the Bible said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Bible said you're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. I want you to bow with me for a word of prayer.